Welcome to the Aspiring Stylist Podcast with Tracy Franklin, where to begin, grow, and aspire to become the best stylist you can be. Whether you're thinking about becoming a stylist, opening a salon, or developing your skills as an experienced stylist, the next step of your beauty career starts here. Each week, we'll discuss strategic ways to design, plan, and execute on becoming a stylist that excels behind the chair and above the bottom line. Here's your host, Tracy Franklin.
Before we get into today's episode, I want to introduce one of my favorite stylists, Aveda professional and educator, Cher Smith. In 2010, Cher graduated from the Aveda Institute in Knoxville, Tennessee, where she lived and worked until moving to Los Angeles in 2020. Now, 3 years later, Cher has returned to Tennessee and works halfway between Nashville and Knoxville at My Salon in Cookeville, Tennessee, Locke's Salon and Spa. As I've watched Cher start over in a completely new area and build her clientele entirely from the ground up, I thought this would be a perfect opportunity to share a conversation for all my stylists that are building a clientele for the first time or starting over somewhere new. So Cher, to catch everyone up, you recently moved from Los Angeles to a small town in Tennessee where you have to completely rebuild your clientele. What steps did you take before your first day to make sure the transition was seamless and you were prepared for success?
Well, thanks for asking. Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I just moved to Cookeville, Tennessee, and it's quite a culture shock from Los Angeles. And there are some challenges I've noticed so far. There's also some benefits as well. Some steps to make my transition a little smoother and being prepared for success. I try to do my research ahead of time, and when I landed on a salon where I wanted to be, then I started learning about the community. Where is that salon located? Places in the surrounding area? What is the demographic of this area? What kind of businesses are close by? What things would interest me on a personal level that can cross over and integrate into my professional life?
Yeah.
So just reaching out to different businesses, even on social media or looking through websites, reading maps.
I'm so cool.
Little nerdy like that, but I literally would pull up maps and be like, oh, how far is it from here to here?
Yeah.
And what is the range of Aveda salons in this area? And looking at specifically a salon, a type of salon that fits what I want out of my career was important for me too. So as I decided to make a transition, I found a salon that fit what I was looking for in a workplace.
Awesome.
That's helping me feel more successful and comfortable in my career path.
Yeah, absolutely. So far, what's been the most challenging part of your transition and how have you changed your approach to meet the challenge?
In general, it's really hard, especially moving across country. That in itself is a challenge. But here we're focusing on salon life specifically and career shift, change, ebb and flow. Careers move and change all the time. Even if you're in the same space your entire career, it's still going to ebb and flow over time.
I agree.
So I think the most challenging part is just finding your niche and being patient and gentle with yourself while you go through the transition.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be different everywhere. And me personally, I have a plan in my head and I overthink things. And if things don't go according to my plan that I've concocted in my brain, then I get really stressed out. And I'm putting that pressure on myself because it's not going as planned. Instead of relaxing into it and just going through the journey and just presenting the best I can, showing up for myself.
And being pleasantly surprised. Like I find sometimes that when we try to strategically plan every aspect of a shift or transition, like we don't let any of the magic in, any of that unexpected magic, that kind of, I think, it may change your mind. Like you may have an epiphany along the way and experience something new and be like, oh, well, maybe that's it. I'm so happy that happened. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy it didn't go according to plan because now I have this, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's overarching. Even, you know, I had some really great coworkers and experiences in Los Angeles. And, you know, I've left that space and I had those experiences, but that's leading me to the next step of my journey, you know, to this step. So, yeah, it's overcoming little things here and there and being surprised about like, wow, I didn't realize how much I had learned or how much I had benefited from this space that I can bring to this space and showing up.
Well, I'll be honest. When you and I first started talking about this possible transition, I thought, How is Cookeville going to compare to Los Angeles? I knew that you were experiencing this like really cool aspect of the business, working with celebrities and being in a very fast paced, very hip space. And like, how could Cookeville possibly compare? So why did you choose Cookeville? Why did you choose Lox?
Well, I've made two major transitions from Knoxville to Los Angeles. I made that big transition.
Yeah.
I specifically looked for certain things in a salon that would feed me where I am in my career and what I'm wanting out of my career. And then I did the same thing. What I'm looking for in my career personally, and it's different for everybody.
Sure.
So what I'm personally looking for is excellence in my craft, in leveling up, and being in a space that feeds me to grow and elevate and develop myself to optimum potential.
Mm-hmm.
And that will never end. If it does, it's time for me to find a new career.
Yeah, I agree.
So when I moved from Knoxville to Los Angeles, I love the Aveda Network, and I'm going to remain in the Aveda Network and practice being an Aveda stylist.
Yeah.
So number one, I needed to find an Aveda salon. I also was very involved in Intercoiffure over the past several years, and I really like the Intercoiffure organization. So I looked up Intercoiffure
salons. What is that,
salons.
Share for people who don't know?
People who don't know, Intercoiffure is a hairdresser organization, and it's very high level, very elite. You can't just join Intercoiffure. You have to be invited or recommended, and then you have to present your work. It's like almost like a lifetime achievement type situation to be inducted. You're pinned into the membership.
I love that.
Yeah, it's just really inspiring, and it's just such a great, hardworking group of people, and it's just really good interconnectivity, which kind of reminds me, like Aveda is an Intercoiffure company, but Aveda has that family interconnectedness, and I like that. I like
me too.
Community. I like working together, networking. I like being a unit, a family within a corporation. So I was looking for an Intercoiffure salon, which means it's high level globally, and also an Aveda salon. And my former salon was the only one that popped up on the list. Mm-hmm. So I knew that I was headed toward excellence. And the more that I learned about it, the more that I realized this is definitely a space for me, and it's going to really help propel my career.
Yeah.
Then when I was called to leave Los Angeles for personal reasons, family reasons, I was looking for another salon closer to Tennessee so that I could be closer to my family. And I didn't necessarily like decide to move back to Tennessee proper, but somewhere closer.
Yeah.
So I looked at several different salons around the country that I already know and admire, and just have different conversations with people. And, you know, you and I have been vibing and following each other's careers for years and years, and supportive of each other. And so, yeah, we had those initial conversations, and then I had conversations with other salon owners. And I just felt that Cookeville Lox Salon and Spa is going to be the place that is going to fill what I need in my heart, in my soul as a professional. It's going to help me grow on my professional path. It's also reputable and has a high standard, and I don't deserve less than that as a stylist. Mm-hmm. So I want to be at the top. Who's at the top of their game? That's where I want to be, because I'm always striving to do good hair.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm honored. I'm truly honored.
Thank you.
Before you started working behind the chair, you were a professional ASL interpreter. Now, as a stylist, you use sign language to help connect the deaf and hearing impaired to the beauty industry. As a stylist, why is it vital we share our interests and unique skills?
Okay, so we're going to back up a little bit, and I'm going to give you some gentle corrections.
Okay.
The first is I'm still a sign language interpreter.
Yeah.
Like, that was full-time career before I switched into the beauty industry. So being a hairstylist is my second career.
Yeah.
But I still practice my first career as an ASL interpreter.
And I love that.
Yeah. And yeah, we just say deaf community.
Okay.
Serving deaf folks.
Okay.
And I am passionate about the deaf community and have a very high skill level and proficiency in sign language. I don't interpret as much anymore these days because my sole focus is in behind the chair and hair world.
Right.
But I want to bridge the gap. That's one of my passions, is bridging the gap between a deaf consumer and their hair service.
Yeah.
They're often left out because of lack of communication. They can bring pictures, they can text, but hearing stylists that don't understand deaf community or don't know the language will often struggle even with visuals. Maybe you like this haircut, but you don't want these bangs. And sometimes little things like that, even with a hearing client as a hearing person,
yes,
it's hard to communicate
yes,
that.
Yes.
So then you have a deaf person who is really specific about their hair and they really want a great hair service. They can't communicate that.
Yeah.
So I love being able to let people know that I'm bilingual and I'm able to fill that and make my chair and my space inclusive and accessible and normalize. Hey, I wear hearing aids. Hey, I wear cochlear implants. You know, I have implant device. Okay, so I wear glasses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, let's normalize that. And some people who haven't been around it don't know and are maybe afraid or maybe offensive sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's really like no big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just want to always be a beacon of advocacy and mm-hmm. activism.
Well, I think you do a really great job of that. And I will be perfectly honest, that was one of the most exciting things to me. We have not had a lot of members of the deaf community come into LOX. Just, I think, probably not knowing, you know, whether or not we had anybody there that could communicate well with them. And now we do. And it's just mm-hmm. so exciting. Thank you for clearing that up for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And this county doesn't have a huge deaf population. I already know a couple deaf people here in the community. And so we'll be getting some deaf people in the salon soon.
Yeah, I'm excited. Inclusivity is so important. I want everyone to feel like they can come into my establishment and be welcomed with open arms and be served to the highest capacity.
Yes. Amen.
How are you leveraging social media to share your work, find new guests, and rebuild your personal brand as a stylist?
You know, I'm in this new town where I don't really have friends. You know, I don't really know anybody. I don't have like an already built-in community.
Yes.
So social media definitely helps me keep in touch with people. But as a platform for my work and leveraging that, I post things that I like or I'm inspired by.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll post on my stories something that speaks to me that I admire or that I like doing myself, so that maybe somebody in the community that starts following me on social media be like, oh, she likes to do lock retwists. Or she's attracted to these styles. Oh, okay. I see. She's got some great little natural textured wash and go posts.
Yeah.
Oh, she's comfortable with that. She admires that. And that's me sharing what I like and what I'm comfortable with or what I'm passionate about. Lately, it's been curly hair. I'm on this new like curly hair mission in Cookville.
Yeah.
Because I've been hearing the screams of, we need help with our curls.
Right.
Therefore, I'm like, oh, I can help. Here we go. Let's do this.
Yes, yes.
So I've started actively posting more curly haired content. Mm-hmm. Also, I took a social media class with Tatum Neal years ago. And one of the things that I didn't quite understand, but then once I heard him talk about it, was using geolocation.
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm learning Cookville now, I'm using certain places that are like hot spots where there's, you know, in the back of my mind, potential clientele that I want to reach. I want to target this type of person. Then I'll tag that little area mm-hmm. or tag that business or tag that institution. So those
Brilliant.
Are just some ways of leveraging my social media to reach people for now.
Yeah. So what about education? You're a passionate educator. How do you use social media to leverage that part of your career?
Oh, same thing. Working with students, or if I have a class taught, you know, let's throw out a reel. We did this. I save more education content than I post.
Yeah. Ditto.
So yeah, I feel like right now it's kicking in, you know, it's not quite there yet. But when I get a little bit more momentum in this area, back at Neil, back, you know, with Aspire and Locks,
mm-hmm.
I'll start posting ramping more, that up, kind of get those wheels turning, cranking a little bit harder with posts or reels or information tidbits on education, and also figuring out what's needed and where do I need to plug in.
Yeah, that's all great. So, Cher, I think social media is a great tool, but it's not the only tool. What are some other things that you do to promote yourself and your skill set?
Yeah, since I'm not really a social media person, but I'm a very social person, being in a new community, personally, I'm speaking for myself, and it's, again, going to be different for everybody.
Sure.
Moving to a new place, I'm meeting new people all the time, every day.
Yeah.
So I'm working on putting myself out there a little bit more. Before I even moved here, like I told you, I researched the community, looked at maps, looked up social media. What are events happening in the local park, or what's going on downtown? Are there any, you know, different types of specific events, and show up at those events and introduce myself and meet people. Hi, I'm a hairdresser. I just moved here. I'm at Lux Salon. Oh, I like doing this, just to let people know who I am, and doing that authentically in real life, in person. And then also, just simply ask behind the chair. Somebody's happy with their service. At the end of the service, hey, friend, thank you for honoring my chair today. I loved having you in my space. We've had so much fun. Because I'm new here, would you send someone to me?
Yeah.
I would love to have more people in my chair like you.
I wish I could bottle that intention and sprinkle it all over everyone.
Yes.
I mean, it's just the easy stuff, the free stuff, the genuine, authentic stuff. That is where people want to show up. That is where they want to help you. When you just simply look at them and be like, hey, really loved spending time with you today. I want more people like you.
Just ask.
Yeah. Do you have some friends or family that you can think of? How many business cards can I give you? Thank you so much for supporting me and welcoming me to this new community. It's not hard, but so few people are willing to do it.
And simple. And talking about yourself to attracting the type of clientele that you want. I'm going to ask those people that I genuinely in my heart really enjoyed that day, not just to say it, just to get a pre-book.
Right.
Because yes, pre-booking is important, but it's not the end all be all, especially for a stylist.
Absolutely.
Or a seasoned stylist. Newer stylist, you can't really pick and choose as much. But, oh, we took care of your amazing curls today. They're so juicy and defined. And I'm so glad that you love them and you're obsessed with your curls, as you should be, honey.
Yeah.
So tell your curly and coily haired friends to come my way.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
So genuine, too, you know? What is your advice for a stylist that is considering starting over somewhere completely new?
I have some good advice for that. Take it or leave it. I think my first piece of advice for a stylist that wants to start somewhere brand new is to be yourself, be authentic all the way, and find your tribe. When I moved and relocated to Los Angeles from Knoxville, I knew that I wanted to find my tribe. You know, people say work-life balance. You know, I've said this before.
Yeah.
I call it work-life integration.
I love that.
Read it in a book and it just stuck with me and it's really perfect. You know, work and private life can overlap behind the chair and the chair can overlap into your personal life.
And usually does anyways, right?
It does organically, no matter how like, oh, this is just work and then this is just home. Like, we're not two different people. We're one person. We
right.
have many faceted parts of ourselves. But we are who we are. So if you're out there and you're being authentic, best advice starting somewhere new is find your tribe, find your passions, your people. For example, myself, this is my journey, had to move to LA and find my queer community and my deaf community. I identify as queer. I'm always advocating activism for the LGBTQ plus community. Also, I'm fluent in sign language, and I've worked as an interpreter for many years, and I'm very passionate socially about the deaf community. But also, I want to serve the deaf community behind the chair because I know it fills a gap.
Yeah.
So moving to a new space, finding in my personal life the spaces I want to be in. I want to be in queer spaces. I want to be in deaf spaces. Then I meet people, and then they find out who I am and what I do. They tell other people. Then I start building a clientele off of that. It's really wonderful. It's really magical because
you get to combine your passions.
I can combine my passions. And not only do I love my craft and my career as a hairstylist, but now I get to have the career that I love and serve the people that fills my heart. That also extends to not just deaf people, but the disability community. I think that we always need to do better. Hashtag do better, like in all situations. But I always want to make a safe space, an inclusive space, an accessible space for anybody who has anything that's different than what the norm, especially in a rural area where we don't see many people of color. And I want to be a space for that. And I want to be a space for deaf people. And I want to be a space for hijabi women who come in and need their modesty protected. Anybody who feels that they don't have a safe space. And I know that's one reason I really wanted to partner with you is because you are very vocal about everybody is included, no matter your gender identity, how you present yourself, what pronouns you use, what hair texture you have, what are your lifestyle, religion, your cultural practices are, you're all welcome in this space. So going to a new space, find a space that matches your values, and in your personal life, find your tribe, because that's going to fulfill you in your professional space behind the chair. And also when your chair is built with the people that you have found that fit your vibe, that you're doing the kind of haircuts that you enjoy, that you feel proud about, that's going to enhance your personal life as well. That's my best advice. Mm-hmm.
I love it. What is the most important thing for stylists to remember as they go through a challenging transition, whether it be moving somewhere new or going to a new salon at a different price point or even building your very first clientele?
I think one of the most important things is having realistic expectations, defining some expectations for yourself. Knowledge is power. Knowing what you're getting into. You know, I'm learning new people. I'm learning new techniques and culture. Each salon has its own culture, even if it's within the same company.
Sure.
Each salon has its own culture and its own energies. Yeah. So just being gentle with yourself to let that unfold and blossom how it's going to.
And find your place within that. Yeah.
Yeah. So being patient with that and just do you, boo.
Cher, thank you so much for joining us on The Aspiring Stylist. Where can we find you on social media to follow along your journey?
Well, it's been an honor to be here, and I always have so much fun with you. So when I can get like time away and just be in your space, I just have so much fun with you.
Yeah, same.
And so keep an eye on all the growing things here at Lox and Aspire, and I can be found at Cher Flair on Instagram.
Love
and,
it.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. I'm so honored to be here.
Thank you, Cher.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Aspiring Stylist Podcast with Tracy Franklin. If you enjoyed listening and you want to hear more, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. The Aspiring Stylist Podcast with Tracy Franklin is a Morgan Franklin production. Today's episode was written and produced by Morgan Franklin. Editing and post-production by Mike Franklin. Want to find out more about Tracy and the Aspiring Barber and Beauty Academy? Go to aspirebarberandbeauty.com.